The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. Third and final hour today in the morning, but not our final hour together today, doing the Larry Elder Show today, 5 to 8 p.m. So I get to drop you off at work and then pick you up and take you home. It's a free service, and we hope you enjoy. All right, we are enjoying your phone calls at 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. Your thoughts about the Trump town hall on ABC last night, filled with quote-unquote undecided voters, almost all of whom had pointed hostile questions. Imagine that. I've got a couple of more excerpts from that, some other things to talk about. There's some Fort Worth ISD action last night. Got some good local journalism about it with regard to the temptation felt by a lot of school systems and the urging of a lot of parents, you think, to get back to normal in-person schooling, and a number of other things making the rounds issue-wise. 866-660-5759. To slice that borderline between masks and mask mandates, which is just fun to say, if people want to recommend that you wear them, if a store wants to require it, is it possible that the efficacy of masks, the very logic of wearing them, has been wildly overblown? You bet it's possible. So what do you do? You then have a choice to make as an individual. And some people are choosing to just flout their, or it's kind of funny, the difference between flout and flaunt. You flout a rule, you showingly flaunt your mask opposition by walking into a store and refusing to wear one. Don't be a jerk, okay? The option, the marketplace option of I'll go someplace that doesn't want me to wear a mask, good luck finding one in this day and age. The prevailing moment seems to be that just about all these businesses want you to wear one. Okay. Then you know what? Then wear the dang thing. It just doesn't matter. You're in a store for X number of minutes. It ain't going to kill you. But here's the thing. I don't want it from government. And a lot of people have said, well, why? If something's good to do, why is it bad for government to make us do it? Oh, my. That list is long. In order to justify the extraordinary step of the government forcing universal mask wearing, the burden of proving that masks are so effective and the emergency so dire as to validate such an extreme action, that bar is extremely high. Extremely high. And as much of a mask advocate as I'm willing to be, just in terms of just go out there, let's get through this together, wear the dang thing, and you know, and then go somewhere where you don't have to wear it. Don't be a jerk. The data and evidence from this pandemic do not in any way justify a universal mask mandate. It never has. If the government can force you to wear a mask under penalty of law, what in the world can't they do? What in the world, in this nation supposedly founded on the concept of liberty from tyranny, what in the world can government not do if they can force a mask onto your face? And when does it end? If somebody says, well, you know, we'll get through it, and the mask mandate will help us get through it quicker. Oh, really? When will it end? I know, right after Joe Biden wins. Ha, ha, ha. But what's the end date for such a mandate? If we're forced to wear them now, and right now, after things peaked, we are now in a period of decline for the virus, it seems. Please, Lord, let it stay that way. Let the numbers continue to flatten and fall. It's fantastic news. undercovered fantastic news. But when does it end? Right now, we have a death toll that resembles a flu season right now. I mean, what we've all gone through. I mean, we have 200,000 dead Americans. So I've got these folks on the phone going, oh, it's not really serious. Guys, please don't let your resistance to tyranny, your questions about so-called experts from Dr. Fauci on down, don't let that turn you into a wing nut. All right. Oh, it's not really serious at all. Not a good look. Not a good look. But where we are right now, the death toll kind of resembles a flu season. Right now. Right now it does. And let's please have it resemble something even less serious and less fatal, with fewer sick people as we progress through the fall. But when would it ever be lifted? When will, in fact, that's a huge question that lingers with me every day. When there's no binary switch that'll flip, where all of a sudden, hey, coming up on October this or November that or January this, everything, boom, there's all this list of things you'll suddenly be able to do. It took us a long time to get into this hole. It's going to take a while to get out. With individual certain things being lifted, some by law, some by habit, some by the marketplace. When will a venue be comfortable welcoming 15,000 people in for a concert again? I do not know. But when you put these kind of things in the hands of government and then just wait for them, how'd you like to be the government official that steps forward and says, okay, I'm going to end the mask mandate? And then the first person that dies afterward, the blood is on your hands. These are the dangers of putting these decisions in the hands of government. And let's say, God help us, Biden wins. And that whole notion of a federal mask mandate, which I don't even think he can do. How do you technically enforce that? And the ridiculousness of a federal mask mandate of extending to the citizens of South Dakota or something is just crazy. Stripping local authorities and local events from the moral authority to effectively make their own rules, the chaos and division would just be unbearable. Just unbearable. 866-660-5759. We are in Arlington. Hey, Steve. Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mark.
How are you?
Good morning.
Hey.
The text does not say wear a mask or else. It says wear a mask if. And the if is social distancing. Social distancing is what the mandate should be called. Masks are a backup when social distancing is not an option. Any store that flies according to state and local mandates in their sign means don't wear a mask unless you have to get within 6 feet.
The logic is right
Walmart.
There. Right. Your logic is correct there. But stores realize that the likelihood of something happening that puts somebody within 6 feet of you is so great, and the ability to control that and have some bronze bubble around you that keeps people away. I understand that. But the stores are by and large choosing to say, you know what? You're going to come in here, wear a mask. And
I don't wear a mask anywhere, and no one ever says a single thing.
Well, they're being nice
anywhere.
To you. Then they're being nice to you.
They're being nice to the fact that they can't.
Of course they
can. They know the law.
No. A store can require anything it wishes. Anything.
Yes, they do.
There
but
you go.
They say, all of them say, according to state and local mandates.
That means
if they're following the rules,
I understand that. But the store, and then maybe the store shouldn't say that we're hanging
they
this on local mandate or anything.
Right, they can up it if they want, but
right.
They don't.
But if a store has that rule, they have a right to have that rule, and you ought to obey it. Don't be a jerk.
The rule is 6 feet. I am obeying it.
Store has a rule. Store has a rule. Store says wear a mask.
Maintain
wear a mask.
Maintain social distancing.
Store says wear a mask. Store says wear a mask.
Say that, Mark.
Of course. What store are you at,
according
dude?
To state, It's store. The signs.
I mean, there are million. There are a million stores. There are a million signs. I mean, they're all over the place. I mean, the vast majority of signs that I see say put up. The vast majority of signs that I see make no reference whatsoever to state and local man. Dude, you're lying to me. Stop it. What is the matter with you people today? Good God Almighty. Jiminy Christmas. There's a way to be reasonable about this. There's a way to be skeptical of the mask science. There's a way to be anti-tyranny. What is going on with you people? Golly Moses, we're in Richardson. Mary Beth, hi, how are you?
Hi, Mark.
Hey.
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great.
You're a little worked up.
Because people are saying stupid things to me. Smart people are saying stupid things to me, and I want better for them.
Yes, and I guess I kind of agree with that last caller. He kind of sounds like what we say. So we have a saying in our family with our child that we don't wear masks in our family, but I'm happy for you to. And
so that's kind of you. Thank you. So you and the family or just you by yourself walk up to a store that says wear a mask before coming in. What do you do?
We just walk in. We're very calm about it. If someone,
I'm sure you are,
from the store, makes a big deal out of it, we just say, okay, well, I guess we'll spend our money elsewhere.
Why not make that decision at the door rather than break a rule that they have every right to have? Why?
But what is happening is that if I had to wear a mask everywhere, that would impede my ability to buy food. That would impede my ability to buy sustenance for my family. Because if I'm not going to wear a mask, I can't buy food.
No, ma'am. What, for God's sake, what is going on with people? I'm going to Tom Thumb right after the show, Mary Beth. I'm going to get some food. I'm going to have a mask on my face. It's a miracle. How was I able to do that?
But if I don't want to wear a mask,
that is your choice. That is your choice. You're telling me it's impossible that you somehow can't buy food. Yes, you can't put on the damn mask. Buy food.
What are you going to do if they make the vaccine mandatory, which I also wouldn't be getting?
Now that's interesting.
That does impede my ability. But the mask is just the forerunner.
We can talk slippery slope all day long, and that's an interesting kind. That's an interesting conversation. We'll spend a moment on the vaccine in a minute. But this notion that it's impossible for you to buy food, just stop that. Okay, of course you could buy food. You don't want to wear. You could buy food today, and you know that. Now let's go to the vaccine thing. It is one of the most uncomfortable prospects I can imagine. The notion of a mandatory vaccine. I see zero likelihood of that in this instance. I see zero buzz or signal of that. Now here's the interesting thing. There's a case I read, Jacobson versus Massachusetts Supreme Court, more than a century ago, but it's the last case that sort of dealt with this. And it was a particular pandemic in Massachusetts, and it passed constitutional muster. It said, you know what? If a local health authority says we need people to do this for a broad public health reason, that they can do it. That leaves me really uncomfortable. I mean, I understand. I see the logic. I do. I mean, but I don't know if I can embrace the logic. And if there's anything, you talk about rights, you talk about things that there's some things that are just abject constitutional rights. Other things just seem to be a natural right that human beings have. And the right of the borderlines of my body, the notion of something entering my bloodstream, would seem to be an absolute right that I have. Now, if I choose, if there is, let's say there's a mandatory vaccine and I choose or whatever, and I choose not to do it. As I've often said about kids who don't, parents who don't want to vaccinate your kids, you have that right. Mm-hmm. And the school has the right to say no unvaccinated kids. So guess what?
Right.
Hi, homeschooling. Well, find a school that doesn't require it. Freedom. It's freedom busting out all over. But, let me ask you this, in terms of mandatory vaccine, I think we feel the same. Let's say they come out with one and it becomes available, December 1. Are you telling me you'd sort of wait for others to see how it goes, or you just have no interest in it?
I think I probably will end up having no interest in it. I don't ever get the flu shot. I got a flu shot 1 year, and that's the only time I've ever gotten the flu. I've been an elementary school teacher for years and years, mm-hmm. and so I don't mind if others want to get the flu shot.
There you go. And probably, would you feel the same about – oh, good, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would probably kind of have a sit and wait and see what happens.
I think me too. And Mary Beth, thank you. Thank you enormously. I appreciate you. I haven't really shared about this. Guess what I've done in the last 48 hours? A dentist visit and a doctor visit. Woohoo! Doubling up. Those were both adventures. I believe you me, I know my temperature and my blood pressure. Both good, by the way. Thanks so much. I run cool. That's maybe not today. Both the gun thermometers, I guess those things are accurate. I was 97.8 at the dentist and 97.5 at the doctor yesterday. That's what I walked in from an 80-some degree. Of course, an 80-some degree day is lower than 98. But everything was fine, uneventful, all good, just the normal doctor visit, normal, finally the dentist visit. And I was talking to my own actual doctor, whom I love, and we were talking about the vaccine. And he says, listen, between Pfizer and various other companies, that he's seeing research stuff and buzz stuff that indicates something could be coming in the relative short order. And I said, what do you think people are going to do? And he said, this is why I love him. He said, people can do what they want. They can get the, I said, is there a reason to be fearful of it? And he said, not really. If somebody wants to be in the first wave of, and the first thing is going to go to first responders and the elderly and stuff like that. But he said, it's not being rushed haphazardly or anything like that. But he also said that if somebody wants to sit back and wait 2 or 3 months and see how it all goes, if that increases their comfort level, then fine. I said, did you just pick 2 or 3 months out of your head, or is that probably, if after 3 months we're not, shoveling piles of dead bodies in the street corners, the vaccine is probably okay. So that, and honestly, that's probably me. I'm not suspicious of the path of the vaccine toward approval and eventual use. Lisa and I were talking about this the other day. We're probably I will celebrate the day the vaccine comes out. And pray that it all goes great and make sure that it does before I welcome it into my own personal bloodstream. That's probably me. How about you? 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 924. Well, that's B.B. King on his 95th birthday. Would have been 95. Passed away about 5 years ago. Born this date, 1925, Berclair, Mississippi. Heard the smattering of applause there as he gave you the opening licks of Worry, Worry, Worry. So where is this live album recorded? Well, it was 1971 in Chicago in the Cook County Jail. Wow, so in the mold of Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison, B.B. King wanders into the Cook County Jail, found an appreciative crowd for a great, great live album imaginatively called B.B. King Live in the Cook County Jail, 1971. Look it up. All right, hey, let's look up Gordon Griffin in the newsroom, see what's going on with him, update us on stuff going on in our lives, all around us, in our town, in our world, and then back on the phones with you. Loving life, enjoying it today, 866-660-5759. Grab a line, and here's Gordon. Here's some guys you'll enjoy. Out of Australia, the John Butler Trio. All you want is what you can have. If you want to get one album of theirs, go back to about 2007, get a little thing called Grand National. There's a song called Better Than. 866-660-5759. We are in the home stretch. And that's just of show number one. Holy cow, we got another one today. I'm doing Larry Elder this afternoon / evening, 5 to 8 p.m., and that is always a joy. 866-660-5759. We are in Fort Worth. Brian, welcome. Hey, how are you?
Hi, Mark. I hope you had a chance to go out in the hallway and scream a little bit after.
I do my screaming actually on the air. It's going to have full therapeutic value. Okay. Oh, man.
So I want to make 2 points. First of all, I can be a freaking idiot sometimes, okay? But if I go by the logic of the lady that called from Richardson, you know, I like to drive fast, but I go to the speed limit or close to it because I don't want to risk other drivers to my stupidity.
You know, I almost want to rush in with one analogy problem. You absolutely know, like you know your own name, that speeding on a highway is dangerous. The whole mask thing, it may be really overblown. We don't know. It really, all these people who are kind of mask skeptical, they have a thoroughly valid point. The question is, okay, now what are we going to do? Because we might have some mask skepticism. Are we going to be, you know, a big first class tool and refuse to wear one in a store that wants me to wear one? That answer needs to be no.
Yeah. And I personally hate wearing a mask.
Yep.
But once again, for my fellow humans, I do, because I don't want to risk getting someone else sick. I'm a first responder, and I've transported several of these COVID patients.
Oh, my.
A couple of them doing CPR on them.
Yeah.
And, if they could see that aspect of it, maybe they get a little sense knocked into their head.
Well, maybe. I mean, and it's funny, and I totally understand. Thank you for the work you do and for your call and your kind words. I totally know where stuff – when we have been flat out lied to as much as we have, it's easy to become skeptical of anything. So as I go through the portions of my life where I accede to their request, a store wants me to wear it, so I wear the doggone thing. And I don't want to live that way forever. I'd like for us all to get past this so that we don't have to do this anymore. So and the health reasons, the science reasons may be really pretty dicey. But you know what it ultimately becomes? It almost becomes a personal relationships issue. The moment that you choose to walk into a store that has a mask requirement, and doggone it, you just don't want to do it. You know, that's your happy statement, but you also might be freaking out 27 people inside the store, and that's just being a jerk. Because you know what, they don't know that the mask is perfect. You don't know that it's useless. It is probably somewhere in between perfect and useless. If it's of some value, fine, great. That's why I'm glad to do it in situations. And obviously my favorite thing is in situations where I cannot socially distance, which is why, you know, when I was at a big store like a Home Depot or a Lowe's in the early stages before they started requiring it, I didn't wear one in there. Aisles are big. They're wide. And guess what? I'm going to stay 6 feet away from you, and I'm going to keep you 6 feet away from me. You know, well, at some point, you know, Lowe's and Home Depot and the rest of the world said, you know, all other things being equal, we'd like you to wear one. Well, then what am I going to be? Am I going to be a big old jerk? I am not. 866-660-5759. We are in Fort Worth. Steve, good morning. Welcome. How are you?
Mr. Davis, hey. It's so nice to talk to you.
Nice to have you.
And hopefully you took some blood pressure medicine after a couple of these calls this morning.
No, so, good.
I know you're at the doctor, but...
Exactly. My blood pressure was great. Don't screw it up.
All right. So I'm not going to get into mass things because I think a lot of people are expressing their thoughts, but I'm going to go back to this whole virus as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to use some baseball analogy for you, since your Rangers are playing so well.
No, oh, yeah.
Let's start out with your baseball analogy. Mm-hmm. If your Rangers start off the season 9-1, their winning percentage is 900, 9,000, however you want to say it. Mm-hmm. And all the prognosticators, all the fans, all the scientists, they're going to go 140-22. Okay. Adrian Beltre, I'm going back a couple of years because I don't know anybody who's on the Rangers now.
Right.
But Adrian Beltre, okay, he hits 3 home runs in the first 7 games. Oh, my goodness. He's going to hit 62 home runs, driving 325, and he's going to hit 429. Well, as the season goes on, What happens?
Mm-hmm.
The averages come down because he plays more games. He has more at-bats. The Rangers lose more games in their 3-7 and 2-8 stretches.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the winning percentage is .400.
Right. If I'm following you, the point is don't presume from the first slice of something that happens. Don't extrapolate out and presume that it's going to stay exactly the same way. Okay, so how does that translate to COVID-19? What point you want to make?
So when this China virus, and I watched this doctor on TV last night from Wuhan who's in the lab.
Oh, the guy on Tucker Carlson, the whistleblower?
Absolutely.
Oh, that was cool.
Absolutely.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. Okay. But prior to that, I still was going with the same thought here, is that when this China virus came to the States and everywhere else in the world, nobody knew anything about this virus, hence why it's called the novel virus. And so when you have X amount of deaths in New York City, okay, and all of a sudden we're going to have 5 million deaths in the States. We're going to have 2.5 million, whatever. These numbers start to revise. Why? Because we started testing. We started testing, and everybody wants testing. Well, if we test 320 million people in the United States, you know right now that that number, that affected people, is going to be very high.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, it's a very infectious disease. So it's not a deadly disease. The only reason why it looks deadly is because the numbers are high. The only reason why it looks deadly is because the numbers are high because it's more infectious.
Well,
okay,
but I might need a word moment here. I mean, deadly has a meaning, and I would suggest the reason it looks deadly is there are 200,000 dead people. So maybe
I am not discounting any deaths.
Okay, thank you.
But it's sad that you always have to say that, but I'm not. But the point is here is that if we didn't test, and if we didn't know how many people are infected, and we still don't, okay, but my guess is it's much higher, and that's what some scientists have said, it's much higher than the number that we have, and around the world as well. So really, the number of people that are dying due to coronavirus, really to coronavirus, is much lower. Hence, your batting average goes down, your winning percentage goes down, and everybody says, "What a bad year! I should have jumped on the bandwagon after 10 games."
I think statistically, and for some reason, for this virus, we have chosen to dwell and hover over and one death is too many. Let's all say that. Speaking of things, we've chosen to obsess about this one. And that's why, honestly, once this thing does run its course, I'm scared to death of the next virus, which may be a little worse, a little better. Are we going to do this to ourselves again every time?
Yeah. And that's why, Mark, the reason why it's happened is because it's 2020. And if this would have been 2017, 2021, we wouldn't have locked down this country, and nothing would have gone to the extremes that we've gone to today. And that's why your mask people that have called in today, some saying no, some saying yes, and so on, is because the government, the politicians, certain politicians are pushing the fear-mongering. And I heard you say a little while ago, when is it going to be okay for 50,000 people to go to Globe Life? Well, that will never happen.
Right.
But
because it only holds 40. But, but anyway, go ahead.
But the point is that we should be going now.
Let's spend a moment on that, because I'm right. I'm walking alongside you about the notion of that we have really chosen. Well, it's funny, because if I say that sounds crazy or we shouldn't be doing that.
I
don't know if I am, because it sounds as though that we somehow know that if we did that. Because I think you're totally right. The shutdown was politically fueled, but does that does it need to be binary that we either had the full shutdown to the crippling extent that we did, or we do nothing and keep living life exactly the same way? I think there might be in the middle there some kind of things where maybe we're not wearing masks everywhere and we're not requiring them for people in South Dakota, but maybe big gatherings of people might not be a smart idea. I think it's possible to hold that out and not mean
but
that
you
you're.
Said, you Go ahead, you said in the previous phone call, if the vaccine comes out,
right?
You know, you're going, you know what? I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah.
I do not.
I'm gonna sit tight on it for a couple of months, and then I'll get it.
Right, but the point is that if the vaccine comes out, what does that do? If the government tomorrow said, you know what? Everything is good. We've sort of done what we can with the virus. Go live your lives. People aren't going to do it because the politicians are still trying, and the media, mainstream media,
absolutely,
still trying to make you fear.
Absolutely.
Fear.
But that doesn't mean, because I think we're singing from a similar hymnal, but yeah. I don't know if I can board the train that says that we really know that it's a great idea to have 97,000 people this weekend for the Cowboys and the Falcons, because I don't know that that's a great idea.
I don't think you're wrong on that. Yeah. However, I do believe that stadium, that's as large as it is.
Yeah.
Should not be sitting empty. Okay?
And it won't. We could have 25,000 people for the Cowboys on Sunday.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And I don't want to see another cardboard cutout. And I don't want to see.
and no more fake crowd noise. The fake crowd noise is killing me. Steve, thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. A great deal. Hope I get to watch the game from my house and my personal TV. And yeah, Dontari Poe or anybody else, keep your knees off the turf, because I will not see one down of it, not one blessed down of it. And I want to, I do. I heard all the talk after the Rams game. Wow, they went for it on 4th and 3. Yay, we got a coach that goes for it on 4th and 3, but they didn't make it. No, you're an idiot. You should have gone for the field goal. Well, that's probably would have been my argument. And a crazy offensive pass interference on Michael Gallup that I understand was a bad call. I guess can't prove it by me, because I turned off the TV the minute Dontari Poe's knee hit the turf. So to Jerry, let's carve out a kneeling moment, a whatever moment before the anthem, whatever you want to do, pick a song you want to sing, that whatever you want to do that can leave the national anthem unfettered, unspoiled by activism. I hope and I pray that Jerry gets control of his team. And that sounds very authoritarian, and I don't mean it to be, except he is the owner of the team. And this is a lot of latitude, a lot. Let him do something else. I'm fine with all these other things they're doing. It's great. But leave the anthem alone. And that'll determine whether I get to watch on Sunday as the Cowboys welcome the Falcons for their first home game. You know, the Mike Gallagher show starts here in a few minutes. And Mike and I are going to talk about this very thing. As I welcome Mike every morning, Mike's going to welcome me. Wow, they must really be desperate. And so I'll be joining him at the beginning of the Mike Gallagher show right after I'm quote unquote done. 9:51, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
The thrill is gone away.
Thrill is Gone is from a B.B. King album out of 1969 called Completely Well.
The thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away.
For producer Rhonda K. Moreland on Twitter at producer Rhonda K, R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Shane Bell, the Shane Bell Band, technical guru skills and musical inclinations in Shane Bell Band Twitter world and Facebook world. And news ace Gordon Griffin. For all of us, we thank you. God bless our country, our troops, our family, our cops, our first responders. And I'll see you tonight, 5 to 8, afternoon, evening, on the Larry Elder Show. I'll see you in about 8 or 9 minutes in the first segment of the Mike Gallagher next hour. We'll see what Mike wants with me. I think I know. So sit tight. Got more to come. Have a great day.
Oh.